Hey, college football fans, Joel Klatt here. And over on my podcast, The Joel Klatt Show, we discuss the best teams, players, and storylines in all of college football. Any questions? Then send them in to the Joel Klatt Show mailbag, and I'll answer them. Tap the banner to follow The Joel Klatt Show on Spotify.
20 years as a New England Patriot. What a ride it's been for Tom Brady.
Patriots have won. Unbelievable.
For the third time in the last 4 years, the Patriots celebrate winning the Lombardi Trophy.
The New England Patriots are the NFL champions.
Brady has his fifth. What a comeback. Six titles.
Bucks win the Super Bowl. Hallelujah.
Enjoy it, folks. You're never, ever going to see it again.
Not in our lifetime.
What an amazing career, an unbelievable run for Tom Brady. Good morning, everybody. We have breaking news to start Undisputed with today. I'm Jen Hale, alongside the always dapper Shannon Sharp and Skip Bayless. Good morning, guys. How are we feeling?
Yeah, you know, you okay. I mean, you know, you cash Skip.
Yeah, I'm just here. Well, good morning to you and good night to Tom Brady, the football player. What a bombshell just got dropped.
Do I need to come give you a hug?
No, I'm good.
Are you sure?
I'm good.
I saw Ernestine leave her. You called Ernestine to give you a hug.
She did. She came and hugged me. Yeah, somebody had to hug me. Nobody else here wants to.
You guys leaving you.
It feels real this time.
It does.
Yeah.
Certainly some weight to this one, right, guys? We're going to get to Tom Brady and his retirement announcement. Let's do that right now this morning. Here's the video post. Check it out.
Good morning, guys. I'll get to the point. Right away, I'm retiring for good. I know the process was a pretty big deal last time, so when I woke up this morning, I figured I'd just press record and let you guys know first. So I won't be long-winded. Like, you only get one super emotional retirement essay, and I used mine up last year. So really thank you guys so much to every single one of you for supporting me, my family, my friends, my teammates, my competitors. I could go on forever. There's too many. Thank you guys for allowing me to live my absolute dream. I wouldn't change a thing. Love you all.
Wow. All right, Shannon. This time, is he really retiring for good?
But it seems like there's something going on with February 1st. If I'm not mistaken, I think it was one year ago today. Mm-hmm. Skip, I do think it's for real, just because how the season played out. I think the finality of it, I think last season weighed a lot. Skip, he had started to look gaunt. And I don't know if what happened off the field, had that been brewing, weighed on his mind. It had to have weighed on his mind. And then the season not going according to Tom is always – a football season for Tom Brady has always pretty much gone according to plan. Even if they didn't win the Super Bowl, Skip, he played well.
Yep.
Last year, he didn't play well. They didn't go to the Super Bowl, and he had all the things going on with him off the field. And just listening at his voice and as it start to break, you see the hurt, the pain that, you know what, it's over. This 23-year ride that I've been on, and it's been great. And you're probably never going to see another ride quite like mine ever in your life in the NFL is over. It's come to a stop. And it's tough. It's tough to walk away from doing from something to Skip that you absolutely love. He absolutely loved everything about the game of football. He loved watching film. He loves meetings. He loved the, obviously, you love the game. You love to hear the roar of the crowd. He loved being around his teammate in the locker room, on the bus ride, on the planes. And that's over. It's never gonna be like that again, Skip. I don't care if you play 1,000 rounds of golf. You can play with Michael Jordan, you can play with Tiger Woods. It's not gonna be the same with your hand in the locker room. That camaraderie ain't coming back.
Yep.
You can call the guys and talk to them, but it's not. But Skip, this year weighed on him. And you can tell, Skip, from the opening snap, Skip, he was highly agitated. Yeah, Tom is a fierce competitor. We get that. But the volatility in which he displayed early on. I like Skip. He's very, very agitated. Things didn't go well right out the gate. Yeah, they look good to open the night. But after that, opening night and then the second to the last game of the season when they played Carolina. But everything in between did not go the way Tom Brady envisioned. And he just come to the realization, it's going to be a bad look for me to start all of a sudden. I need to go to a team that has an offensive line like Philly, that can run the ball like Philly, that have skill position like the Dolphins. That ain't what Tom Brady. Tom Brady was the missing ingredient. He didn't need to go somewhere, Skip. It's like, well, if everything is perfect, Tom can fit right in. And he's like, you know what? Once he surveyed the landscape, he's like, man, come on. Man, I'm 23 years old. My kids are in school. I promised them last year, and I reneged on that promise. He's like, man, let me get my butt up out of here. Let me find some time. V is starting to do things. She's starting to become more active in sports. My sons, man, let me be a part of their life. Mm. The thing, my marriage ended. Nah, it's time for me to be a full-time dad, not a part-time dad. They've supported me throughout my career. Now it's time for me to turn the tables and support them. I know it's hard, Tom. It's very hard. I can hear the crackling as your voice starts to break when you say the finality of my career is over. But I think this is the right thing to do, Skip. And if you watched him this season, I think most people realize that, yeah, Tom, it's time to hang it up. Mm.
Okay. I hear everything you just said. I will say that as opposed to last year, when I pushed back on this day last year, I said, I don't get this, and I'm not trusting it. This feels permanent to me because of what did and did not happen this year on the football field and what did happen off the field to Tom in his personal life.
Yeah, and it played out so publicly.
It did. I'll start with that. Knowing how much he does care about his kids, obviously. Everything changed when he went through his divorce because everybody was trying to assume last year, well, Giselle needs him home because she's always been there and she's always had to do the kids and do all the home life to preside over it. And she had made it clear, I need him home with me now because I've been doing this for a long time.
Yep.
Well, all of a sudden, there's no more two-parent household.
Mm-mm.
It's over. So I think he's even more compelled than ever to be there for his kids because they need him more than ever because there's not mom and dad at home. They're going to share. I'm not sure about how the custody goes, but they're going to share their children.
Well, there's a video online, Skip, that they were at school in Miami, and he was looking at schools. I don't know if they had already enrolled the kids in school or they're looking at the schools. But he was there at the parent day.
All right. And yet I hark back to the long ago quote from his father who said to the New York Times, at some point they're going to have to put a straitjacket on my son and pull him off the football field because he's not going to go quietly. Well, he just went pretty quietly, even though ESPN reported just this past Sunday that at least two teams were very interested in signing Tom Brady, and there may have been more than the two. So it's not like he didn't have options. You said last year, remember, you were a little miffed. Well, they didn't. The league didn't make him retire. They didn't finally shut the door and say, nope, nobody wants you anymore. Right. They did want him. Somebody wanted him. Two or three or whatever teams wanted him.
No, I wanted the league to make it. I want the guys to hit him so hard.
That's what I mean. Yeah.
I don't want to do this anymore.
That's it. I don't want to do this anymore because that's what happens to every other human who plays this
Especially
sport.
The quarterback.
Okay, but now, as a longtime supporter of his, I don't know him off the field at all. I don't have any personal connection with him at all. Mm-hmm. But just as a believer in him as a football player, it was starting to smell wrong, to taste wrong to me, that Tom Brady was suddenly going to become, once again, a mercenary quarterback chasing one last ring.
Yeah.
Am I going to chase it to the Raiders in Las Vegas? Am I going to chase it all the way back to the Bay Area where I grew up, to the San Francisco 49ers? Would they have me? Would they stoop to have me, the Shanahans, for 1 year as a stopgap as they try to get Brock Purdy healthy again and see what they have in Trey Lance or trade Trey Lance? That was the runaway conjecture. The speculation was that looked like, oh, well, he's almost gift-wrapped to the 49ers. Mm-hmm. Really? Well, how long are you going to chase? If you're the GOAT, which I believe it's no doubt runaway GOAT, then how many times do you chase another ring? How many more places do you go? Because at some point, people are like, oh, here we go again.
Right.
Right?
Exactly. But, Skip, when you say that, Let me ask you this. Let's just say for the sake of argument, Tom Brady goes somewhere and he wins another ring. Does that change the way you think of him? So what, he's a bigger GOAT? He's the 5, 6, 7-time GOAT? He is Tom Brady. Every record, passing record that you can possibly have, every playoff, whatever measure you want to use for a player in a team sport, he has it.
Okay.
So what could he do
that
would change what Skip Bayless thinks of him?
It's just who he is, how he's built, what makes him happy. Clearly, if you could have played another 10 years, you would have played another 10 years, but you just couldn't. It happens to every mortal who plays this game. At some point, your body betrays you.
Yeah.
Your psyche betrays you, and it just says, I can't do this.
Yeah.
It's just too hard.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes. Especially Skip, okay. Skip, you got to run. You got to be able to run. I mean, Tom was never reliant on his legs.
No. So what stuck in my craw was, can he really walk away from 8-10? Because that's what they finished this year, 8-10.
Yeah.
Can you really walk away from pretty much getting blown off your home field by my Dallas Cowboys, a team that you had owned, a team that you were 7-0 against?
Right.
Can you say, that's my swan song game? Can you live with that going forward? Because it's not Brady-esque to do that. So that's why I thought, well, maybe he'll say, okay, I need one last hurrah somewhere, and I got to right the wrong of 8-10.
But here's the thing, okay, you say, how can he live with 8-10? What's to say he's not 5-12 next year?
You could make that case.
I think he started to look at it like that, too.
But then I look back on, how did he finish in the end? How did he finish? Well, you pointed out, when all the chips got pushed to the middle of the table in a terrible division nonetheless, but when the chips got pushed, and they had a home game against a very hot Carolina team with a head coach who still should be their head coach in Steve Wilks, because they had rallied back around him and they were on a late season roll on both sides of the ball, running the football especially and playing top 10 defense over their last six games of the year.
Right.
What did he do to that top 10 defense? He destroyed it. He threw for 432 yards and he hit Mike Evans with 3 home run touchdown bombs that flipped the script in that game, because they were in trouble losing that. They were down 14-0. Then they were down again, whatever it was, in the third quarter.
Yeah.
Early fourth quarter, they were down 21-14.
I think this is when you know it's time.
Yeah.
You said Tom Brady won 7 Super Bowls, but you can't remember a throw in which he made in any of those Super Bowls. Now you go back, you can remember a game. Tom Brady played all these years. There is never a game that you can remember in his career where Tom Brady did this, this, and this. This season, you can remember one game.
Mm-hmm.
That lets you know the greats, you don't remember a particular game because they've been great for so long.
Okay.
Every game seemed like it was damn near great.
Okay, but you said that he played horrible the whole year, but 432 and 3 touchdowns without an interception is pretty great to me. In a game for all the division marbles, that's something you can hang your helmet on and say, I'll hang on to that going forward.
If
right?
you want to say, okay, 17 games. If I give you the first game, they won 19-3. If I give you the game they played in Munich, they beat Seattle, they 26-21. And I give you the game against Carolina. That's 3 games in which you said Tom Brady looked like Tom Brady out of 17.
Okay, but obviously nothing worked out, as you said. I thought they were going to be really good, and the offensive line never came back together and started to get hurt with both the tackles.
Right.
So they fell to 24th in pass block win rate. When you're 45 years of age and you're fairly immobile, you're going to have a hard time. If you're 24th, because his needs to be top 5 in pass block win rate, and then you're going to have something because he can still throw. There's nothing wrong with his arm. There was no diminished arm talent. You saw what he did against Carolina. You saw the 3 bombs to Mike Evans. There's nothing wrong with the arm, but you have to have another second to throw those kinds of passes.
Yeah, but Skip, I mean, there are not very many offensive lines that can give you an opportunity to hitch and then double hitch and throw the ball. Normally, when you hitch once, that ball needs to come out or you're going to get chopped.
24th, you're going to lose. You're just going to lose.
Yeah.
But a whole lot of Patrick Mahomes would have a hard time with the 24th pass block win rate. The receivers as a group this year, there was no Gronk. I thought he was going to come back. He called them. They had discussions. And he decided, no, they don't have any salary cap left for me. And I don't want to do this for free. As much as I love Tommy,
I don't want to do
it for free. So there was no Gronk. You had 2 rookie tight ends. You had Mike Evans and Chris Godwin coming off of knee reconstruction. They're not speed receivers.
No.
They're not. Mike can trick you and run by you, as we saw against Carolina. That's Carolina's fault. But the point is, they fell to a passing, a pro football pass, I'm sorry, receiver grade of 19th overall in receiving core grade. Well, it's not good enough. And then the run game, we're going to talk about Sean Payton here in a minute, going to your Denver Broncos, but what is his big mantra? We have to improve running the football to protect our quarterback. That's the quote from him yesterday.
Right.
Well, Brady's run game protected him zero because it was dead last in the NFL. Okay, so that's not working. And then the defense that had helped carry them to the Super Bowl victory over Patrick Mahomes,
going back to,
it was just terribly inconsistent. And I thought it hurt that Todd Bowles, who I still consider the best defensive coordinator in football right now, became the head coach. And what happens is it dilutes your ability to focus just on the defense. Mm-hmm. So all of a sudden, you're struggling in every area. The defense can't have your back, and it went from bad to worse. But what's the big picture of it? Well, what can he I'm trying to rationalize how he's thinking about this. In the second half against Dallas, he didn't exactly fold his tent and go home because he just kept on flinging. He threw for 255 in the second half against my Dallas Cowboys, which they were a top five defense, obviously. Mm-hmm. And you saw what they did at San Francisco against the kid Brock Purdy. They were pretty good. There was no 255 yards passing in the second half of that game. And then let's see if we can. Let's see what happened at the end of this game for Tom Brady, because he throws one to Mike Evans at the two-minute warning that would have actually made the game somewhat interesting. This is to Mike Evans. And I thought, boy, it hit him right in the fingertips. Usually Mike catches that ball. Mm-hmm. I consider that by his standards a drop.
It is a drop.
Okay? So if he hangs on, that would have given Brady, just in the second half alone, 306 yards passing against Dallas. You can argue empty calories, but like they're down and out. But that would have presented an onside kick possibility for them to miraculously get back in the game. Well, he's had a few miracles that he's made in his career. Okay, so instead of that being 306 yards, then he throws, if we'd see the next pass, this is going to be his last completion. So this is what you're going to have to hang on to for Tom Brady. This is to Julio Jones. And I kind of love this because Julio is wide open on this play. It went for 12 yards. I love it that he completed a pass to one of the great receivers we've ever had in this game. I think that's
That'd be a trivia.
Right?
That'd be a trivia question one day.
But I do love it. It went to Julio because he recruited Julio to come help, and Julio couldn't stay healthy all year. Right. Okay, then let's see the very last pass, because now it gets to fourth down. It's fourth and six at the 35. This is a minute and 12 left. And unfortunately, this is the last pass that Tom Brady threw in his career. This is it, and it's just a little high and hard for Julio, and he couldn't get his hands up to snatch it.
Right.
Okay, so that's I'm going to presume at this point that's the last ball Tom Brady ever threw in the National Football League. You just saw it right there. That's the one you're going to put in the time capsule. Okay, what else does he have to hang on to walk away from? Well, he has to know in his heart, okay, I did break my own record this year for attempts and completions.
Yes.
Well, it's not great because you went 8-10, and they're having to just throw the fire out of it because they can't run the ball at all. Mm-hmm. You can say they abandoned the run. Well, they just decided they couldn't run it. So here we go, and he completes the most balls ever completed in the history of the league.
Yes.
Trust me, he's clinging to that. Like, okay, I still have that as a last sign of respect. I did do that, and so it makes it slightly easier for him to walk away saying, well, I did break the all-time completion record.
Well, I'm going to disagree with you on that, because Tom Brady was never defined by numbers. Remember when Peyton Manning was putting up the Star Wars numbers, Tom Brady was winning Super Bowls, and everybody said, I'd rather have Super Bowls than the Star Wars numbers.
Okay.
Now, so we can't move the needle for Tom, because he didn't win and says, well, he did throw to complete the most passes. He did have the most pass attempts.
I got it, but I'm just talking about how does he justify in his mind not needing a straitjacket to pull him off the field. He made this choice. He said, okay, I can walk away from what? Well, trust me, he doesn't love the 8-10.
Right.
He did have the 432. He had a decent second half against Dallas, and he broke his own record for completion. So he's trying to justify or rationalize in his mind, at least I did that at 45.
I think he justifies in his mind, Skip, I can't do this on a consistent basis. I said, the thing is, as you start to age as an aging player, Skip, you can summon it up here and there. But it's the consistency. Tom Brady, Skip, we never worried about Tom Brady. We never focused on one game. Well, he did this one game. Tom Brady was 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 games of consistency. 300, 350, 3 touchdowns, 4 touchdowns.
Yep.
The only thing we got to hang our hats on is, if we really look at it, is one game.
Yep.
The 432, 3-4 touchdown games against Carolina. That is not how Tom Brady wants to be remembered. That's not how he wants to be measured.
But there are not many mortals who can throw for 432 in a game for all the marbles in the division. Trust me. There aren't, even playing right now, as young as you want to go.
Yeah.
It's hard to do that against that defense.
Yes, but Skip, here's the thing, though. What about all the 199s, the 200s that he threw for?
Okay. Well, again, terrible pass blocking, no run game, average receivers, no Gronk, no AB. It was a long, hard year, and I think it took an emotional toll on him, as did trying to go through a divorce and finalize it during the football season.
Yeah.
Enough is enough. And again, I don't think there's any way that a team could call him next week or the next week and say, hey, we need you. I think it's over and out. I think he just told you that in what he posted.
Yeah.
I did the big retirement speech last year, so you only get one of those. So I'm not going to do it this time, but it's over.
I think last year, Skip, he retired, but he looked at his season.
Yeah.
I threw for 5,000 yards. I led the league in touchdown passes. Why am I walking away again? I think when he looks back now, what is he looking back saying, okay, why am I continuing to play?
Yeah.
Looking at his play, he evaluates himself. If he's honest with himself, looking at himself this past season versus a year ago, you can understand why.
Okay, but remember, coming off last year, his peers in this league, all the younger players in this league, all younger than he, they voted him the best player, not the best quarterback, the best player in the whole league coming into his final season.
Right.
Well, you got that to hang on to, right? And that's why I kept arguing last year. I don't see how he's done yet, because he's playing at too high of a level, because he was coming off a game in which they lost what I'm sure he considered a heart crusher, not heartbreaker, at home to the team that was about to go win the championship. Mm-hmm. And you did fall behind, but you roared back. You scored 24 unanswered points, right? To get it to 27 all.
Yes.
And they blew a defense. They blew a blitz. Half of them got blitz. Half of them didn't get blitz. And they let Cooper Kupp, the Triple Crown winning receiver, run right down the middle of the field, wide open, uncovered, to catch a little pop fly pass for a walk-off field goal.
Yep.
Okay, so that's what killed his soul last year, and that's what drove him to say, I'm unretired. I got to come back because I have, what was his line? Unfinished business. Yep. Well, this year it didn't work out for him
to
finish his business. So I hurt for Tampa because he went down there in a pandemic year and turned the Buccaneers into the championship Buccaneers in his first year. Well, it forced you and I to make Tampa Bay Buccaneers games must-see TV because we had no choice. We had to watch what's Brady going to do next.
Yep.
Okay? So for the last 3 years, have you missed one snap of a Tampa game?
No.
I doubt it.
No.
Going forward next year, you might miss some snaps of Tampa
Bay.
Everybody's
going to miss some snaps.
I think so, because I don't know where they're going to turn.
Right.
Are they going to go to Kyle Trask or Blaine Gabbert or what?
And they got a lot of big-ticket guys that's getting on up there in age.
Man, it kind of leaves you high and dry for the moment.
Yes.
So, anyway, I will miss him. I don't know that you will, but I will. And
We know we're going to have at least one topic a week. A day to talk about him, because he's good, bad, or indifferent. He's going to do something that we must talk about.
Right.
Tom Brady.
And at some point down the road, obviously, we will welcome him into the Fox family in some as yet undetermined role. But that's somewhere down the road.
Skip, it's like if debate TV had been in effect with Jordan.
Mm-hmm.
You think there could have been a game that Jordan played that somebody we weren't going to talk about him at least once? Mike. He's Tom.
That was it.
Or Brady, however you want to address it. He should go by one name. He should be either Tom or Brady, but you know who he is.
Yes, we do.
Guys, he posted that retirement video less than an hour and a half ago, and it already has over 6 million views.
Goodness.
Tom, we wish you the very best.
Yep.
Congratulations on an amazing career. All right, speaking of amazing career, Shannon, let's talk about your guy LeBron. Is he just getting better as the season progresses? And then, of course, we've got to talk more about Tom Brady, his retirement, his amazing career. We've got a jam-packed show. We'll be right back.
Hey, college football fans, Joel Klatt here. And over on my podcast, The Joel Klatt Show, we discuss the best teams, players, and storylines in all of college football. Any questions? Then send them in to the Joel Klatt Show mailbag, and I'll answer them. Tap the banner to follow The Joel Klatt Show on Spotify. And I won't
back down. This Lakers-Knicks game was insanely entertaining last night. LeBron notching his first triple-double of the season. It was a 129-123 win for the Lakers over the Knicks that went to OT. AD chipped in with 27 points, 9 rebounds, and 2 steals in the victory. Shannon, what's the biggest reason the Lakers won last night?
Well, Skip, they were able to play well. What we've seen from the Lakers, Skip, is that they have a lead in the fourth quarter. And somehow they lose their concentration. The team will get them into overtime. They don't start playing well, and the next thing you know, they end up losing. I think they were 1-4 in overtime games coming into last night. And they were able to get off to a great start in the overtime. LeBron get an easy layup. And the next thing you know, they're playing really well. They get into a rhythm. And then LeBron had this great skip pass over the top to Schroeder, who nails the three-point shot in the corner. But I thought they played really well last night. They were really consistent last night. LeBron had to get one more shot in. He said the difference is that the players decided the game and not the official.
Yeah.
I don't know if Commissioner Silver is going to be too pleased with that. Mm-hmm. That might cause him a little, you know, he might be getting a FedEx envelope pretty soon. Mm-hmm. But, look, LeBron wasn't – he didn't shoot a high percentage, but he did a lot of other little things, rebounding the basketball, assisting the basketball.
Yeah.
11 for 25, that's not great efficiency. We normally see LeBron make at least 50, 55% of his shots. He's shooting about 51% on the season. But I thought overall he did a great job. AD is coming along. He's getting back into his rhythm. Gave us 27. I thought Rui Hachimura did a great job.
He did.
He's a big body.
Yep.
He can rebound the basketball. He can knock down shots. He can get to the rim. I thought he played well. Schroeder did a great job. Russ coming in off the bench, doing a great job with 8 assists and 17 points. Skip, I thought overall they played really, really well, and they did a great job on Brunson in overtime. Mm-hmm. Man, that looked, man. I don't know. I guess you got to be left-handed to play for the Knicks because it seems like they've cornered the market on left-handed players. Julius Randle, yeah. R.J. Barrett.
Yeah.
But he was sensational in the second half of the ball game,
yeah.
And they did a great job on him in the overtime containing him. But I thought overall this was a total – team win, because what we've seen from the the Lakers, Skip, they play so well. And when LeBron hit that three, Skip, I thought it was over. They got them to 114. I think they were up 5 or 7 points.
Yeah.
I was like, we got this in the bag. Mm. Man, how the hell are we going overtime? Actually, they had an opportunity to win it. Mm-hmm. Skip, I don't want to get too sidetracked. Thibodeau, what the hell are you doing? Mm. Why would you let Julius Randle take the last shot and not Jalen Brunson? Jalen Brunson is the guy that's neither here nor there. The Lakers.
Well, it's here. It's here because it's the question of the night. I don't know.
I'm glad. Well, yeah. I'm glad he took the ball out of Brunson's hand,
yep,
and put it in Julius Randle's hand. Mm-hmm. AD did a great job. Got some late help from LeBron, mm-hmm, and the shot clock and the game ended before he could really get a shot off. But the Lakers, the Lakers played well, and I was glad to see they didn't let it linger any more than what had already lingered. You know, D-Ham said, you know, kind of had a little hangover against the Brooklyn game.
Yep.
But clearly, the taste of that. What happened Saturday night was out of their mouth. I like the way they played.
Mm. So you made the point that LeBron did a lot of great little things, mm-hmm, and he did do a whole bunch of very nice little things.
Yes, plus 22 and plus minus.
I expect that's the weirdest plus minus I've ever seen. The whole Knicks team is minus, and the game went to overtime, and I'm like,
the bench players, Hardenstein was plus 10. They had a couple of plus threes,
but that was
a role.
The starters.
It's
like crazy. They're all minus, but okay. What shocked me about last night was, I told you at the end of yesterday's show, I thought LeBron would do big things because it is Madison Square Garden. It's where the superstars go to superstar.
Right.
It is where legendary is made. It's where the Knicks fans end up rooting for the opposing superstar more than the home team
right.
because they've been in such a long drought since, what is it, 1973. Mm-hmm. It shocked me that LeBron got off to a quiet start. And it shocked me. He'd been making his threes here of late. Mm-hmm. And then if I could show you quickly, there's a shot he took at 10:53 left in the first quarter. So it's pretty early in the game. Yeah. He takes a three, and I'm like, LeBron.
He just
airballed it way wide left. And I'm like, what are you doing? This is the guard, man. This is the Mecca. This is where legends are made, and it's where he's owned that building more than the Knicks have owned that building. Seriously.
That's his third triple-double there.
Yeah, okay. So, and again, he hadn't had any triple-doubles this year, and it was kind of a quiet triple-double because the 28 kind of came through overtime quietly. Mm-hmm. But the point was he didn't do huge things after he had been on a torrential tear.
Right.
It's been raining cats and dogs out here in L.A. for weeks on end, and it felt like he had been scoring cats and dogs on the court since his birthday on December 30th.
You know what, Skip? I was looking at it. I don't like when he takes a game off. Because he's in such a great rhythm.
Yep.
If you go back and look at the games that he's taking off and then coming back, he doesn't normally shoot well that first game out the gate. Maybe I know for at least two or three of those games, he didn't shoot well at the first game back.
Fair point. So at the end of the first half, he doesn't want to have to heave a three because his percentage has
you
been creeping up.
No, I'm not going to mess with my numbers.
So he hot potatoes it over to Schroeder. He says, I don't want to shoot this. And he doesn't excuse me if we could see it. It's like, excuse me, I'll just throw it. I'll just throw it over my shoulder and I won't even watch it. I'll just throw it. I'll turn away from it and it banks in. That's when I thought, it's their night, right? It's the Lakers' night. When you can make a shot like that, you barely touched the ball. You hot potatoed it up into the air, and it banked in accidentally, obviously, and very luckily. But it's like, okay.
Skip, that's like the quarterback throwing the Hail Mary. I ain't going to throw the Hail Mary, mess up my completion percentage. I'm going to throw the check down.
That is exactly right. Okay, so here we go to the end of regulation. And to your point, LeBron did make a three, then he missed a three, and all of a sudden we have a basketball game. And it astounds me how the Lakers play so many close games, because I keep thinking they're better than this. LeBron's playing at a pace and a rate that nobody's ever played at age 38. And AD is back and looking like a top 10-ish kind of a player.
Yes.
And Russ, obviously, to me, he's running away with sixth man of the year. So all that combined, you would think they can beat the Knicks. They can win this game by 10, 12, 15 points. Nope, they can't. Here we go to the wire again. And if we could see the final possession, we had the same situation we had in Boston, because it's a tie game and LeBron's got the ball in his hand. And you know how I feel. Just drive it. But clearly they had already decided, give me a quick pick, but a hard roll to AD. And we can see what happened. It was a sweet little bounce pass. LeBron's still the best passer in basketball, but it put AD in a position to just run over Jalen Brunson, who got there first, and it was a good call, and it's an offensive foul, and it's a wasted possession. Okay, just me. I wanted him to do what he did at Boston. Come pick hard for me and stay. Stay with me, and I'm going to go left or right off you, and I'm going to freight train it down the lane, and if I have to, I'll go make one out of two free throws to win this game, because that was the same spot we were in on Saturday night at Boston.
Well, I think the thing is, if they respected Troy Brown Jr., Brunson wouldn't have cheated as much as he did. If you got a knockdown shooter, you're not going to cheat that, because Bron can skip pass it like he did in overtime to Schroeder.
Okay, but clearly they had already preordained that AD, it's almost like a fake pick, and then he just rolls hard to the basket, and I'm going to get you the basketball on the move. You could flip the script on that. LeBron say, you come pick hard for me, and if I drive it and they just completely clog and cut me off, you're going to be standing behind me, and you're going to have like an 18-foot jump shot. He can make those under pressure.
Right.
So I thought that was the way to go, and it didn't work. Okay, now we get to your play of the night, which goes to, they have 4 seconds left at the other end. Jalen Brunson is on his way to scoring 37 points.
Yes.
He is 9 out of 9 from the free throw line, so he can make free throws too.
Yeah.
So now the roles are reversed. All you need is to get him to the free throw line. And what happens? The ball goes to Julius Randle, and LeBron comes off. I think he's guarding Jalen Brunson, I think, but he just leaves him standing over there, right? He's got Jalen Brunson, but he goes after Julius, And Jalen Brunson just stands back there at the three-point line, and I'm like, what are you doing?
Jalen Brunson should have never took that ball out.
No.
You let somebody else, let Harden stand there, you let somebody else take the ball out. But I'm putting the ball in his hand.
Okay.
Skip, unfortunately, I know they don't want to hear this.
Yeah.
Brunson is their best player. He's better than Julius Randle.
He's changed. He's the reason they're above 500 instead of below 500.
Yeah.
And I got to say, your man in Dallas, he's missing him. You want to talk about a complimentary player.
So I would put him, especially the way he took the ball game over in the fourth. Skip, he made shot after shot after shot in the fourth quarter. So he's feeling it. Jalen Brunson's taking that last shot.
Okay.
Either you make it or you get us to the free throw line, son.
Can he get in the lane?
Yeah.
Yes.
Man.
Ugh.
He got a float game package, like almost reminiscent of Kyrie.
It is Kyrie-esque. No, I agree. Okay, so we go to overtime, and now the flashpoint play becomes the Hachimura play, which is the goaltender, not goaltend play.
Yeah.
And it's interesting because it's going to make it a three-point game or a five-point game, depending on how you rule this when it goes to Secaucus, New Jersey. Okay, so here's the shot by, guess who? Jalen Brunson. And this is just me. I think the ball has reached its apex and was starting slightly to come down.
Go Hachimura. Yeah.
It comes down at least an inch.
Mm-mm.
It is in decline by an inch. It is coming down. I called it first on Twitter. That is a flat-out goaltend. It has stopped, and it's starting to fall, and he goaltends it. And they go to the videotape, and it goes to New Jersey, right?
What is it?
I tell you what I think they said. We owe LeBron. We owe LeBron one. Let's give him this one. It's so close that we can call it one way or the other, and nobody's going to really go crazy over this. Let's give the Lakers this call. And so all of a sudden, boom, it is not a goaltend.
And we got the ball.
And you got the ball. And it was the swing point of that overtime.
Yep.
All right. So guess who closes the game? In a shock to me, I didn't see this coming because half the time, Darvin says, no, Russ, you come sit over here with me. And during his six turnover games, it's like, no, you come over here with me.
Mm-hmm.
Well, guess who took over the overtime? If we could see what Russell Westbrook did in overtime in a row, he has three assists and then he makes a shot. That's the first one to LeBron. That was a good pass and a good post up by LeBron. And then there's a nice dish to AD, and then this is the wraparound. This is an even better assist to AD. That looked like a real live true point guard to me.
And then he
goes glass, which is his shot.
That's his shot.
He loves it off the glass. He is comfortable making it off the glass.
He might hit quarter of the backboard though sometimes.
He might.
He likes that glass.
But when he makes those mid-ranges, they're off the glass.
Yes.
As they said in Die Hard, shoot the glass. Man. I don't know if you remember that.
I do.
Okay. The point is, the game got closed in large part by, are you kidding me, by Russell Westbrook?
Yep.
But I will cap off the night for you with this. Do you know how lucky your Lakers were? Do you realize you got your stat sheet there?
Yep.
Help me out. What did the Knicks do from three in the fourth quarter and in overtime? I'll tell you what they did. In the fourth quarter, they went 0 for 5. In the overtime, they went 0 for 4 from 3.
Yeah.
So combined fourth quarter and overtime, they missed all 9 three-point shots.
Yeah.
In this game, in this league, which as they all say, starting with Doc Rivers, is a make-or-miss league, what's going to happen if you go 0 for 9 from 3? You're going to lose your home game to the Lakers.
Lakers went 4-7 in fourth quarter and overtime.
There you go. Okay, because it's a huge, that's a 12-point swing.
Mm-hmm.
Help me out. If the Knicks, remember there was the possession where they got four straight offensive rebounds? And it's like, and they're lucky. They're just like long rebounds.
Because the Lakers are scrambling.
Yeah, they're scrambling. And you got to make one of them. Because if you make one, it's a psychological killer for the visiting team.
Right.
No, you can't cash any one of them. Well, if you had made 1 out of 9 threes, it could have made a big difference in that game. And you made none.
Right.
Okay, so that's what happened. You actually were at the right place at the right time against the wrong team, you know, right or wrong team.
You see that skip pass LeBron made to Schroeder.
That was good. And Schroeder made a big three, and that kind of set off the scoring in overtime.
It did. Yep.
So I congratulate. We're going to talk to LeBron about LeBron, but he vaulted up the assist list all time to fourth.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Past Mark Jackson, past Steve Nash.
Yeah.
And he did it on a night at Madison Square Garden. So he did it kind of off Broadway.
Yeah.
He didn't go down Broadway.
Right.
He went off Broadway with a big assist game.
He didn't have one of those virtuoso triple-double nights. High percentage.
No, I told you yesterday I wouldn't have been surprised if he'd gone double nickels, 5-5. Okay, well, he's capable. We've been seeing him lately. Like, I thought he would just be another scoring salvo.
Yeah. I did think he'd get in the mid-30s with a 12-rebound, eight assists.
Yep. Well, they won. That's all you got to do.
We're saving it for somebody.
Are you? You're saving it at four games under 500 right now.
We won't be for long, though.
Well, you owe Indiana on Thursday night because Indiana got you at home when you were up 17 in the fourth quarter.
We got something for them.
Do you?
You sure do.
You better have something for them.
Got something for the Pelicans. Got something for Jens Pels, too.
Well, Jens Pels need something.
Yeah, they do. They're having a hard time.
Yeah, they are. Sorry, Jen.
I'm not going to lie. It's been a rough stretch for my Pelicans, but Brandon Ingram's getting his rhythm back. We're going to get Zion back. We're going to be fine. The crazy thing about the West, guys, everybody's bunched together so closely.
Yeah.
It's going to come down to the wire at the end of the season. All right, speaking of the end, after 23 seasons, guys, Tom Brady announcing his retirement this morning. The 45-year-old quarterback, a 15-time Pro Bowler, 7-time Super Bowl champion. He holds practically every major all-time passing record in the NFL. Shannon, how are you going to remember Tom Brady?
Like everybody else. He's the GOAT quarterback. I mean, 23 seasons, 7 Super Bowl, 10 appearances, 5 Super Bowl MVPs, 3 league MVPs, damn near 90,000. What record does he doesn't have? Some of these records ain't going to be – I don't believe anybody's breaking that playoff record. I don't believe anybody's throwing for 13,000 playoff yards, Skip. I don't believe anybody's throwing for 88 touchdown passes because I don't believe you're going to be able to play enough games to be able to do that.
Yep.
So Tom Brady could have, if you chop his career up, 23 and do 7-year increments. He's a Hall of Famer. And most of those, with the exception of the last, you can make a case he's the greatest quarterback if you take his first 7 years, his middle 7 years, and his last 7 years. You can make a case he's the greatest quarterback, even if you chop his career up. But when you do it in totality, who are we discussing? You've got to combine, Montana and Bradshaw and a bunch of other guys' career just to get his, and he's won. So how is anybody going to remember him? You might say, oh, he whined and they cheated and all that. I don't care about any of that right now. Right now, I mean, it's hard to say anything, but kudos, exceptional, virtuoso. I mean, when you just look at the numbers, you're like, damn. All the wins, 286 wins, including the playoff. Can nobody, who gonna get that? How you gonna play out a team when you realize what he did? There was a stretch that they were winning 12, 13 games every single year.
Yep.
And he did that for damn near 20 years.
Yep.
And we ain't got enough show. We could take the whole show and talk about Tom Brady's career, and we still wouldn't do it justice. So you know what? I'm gonna let you take off. That's your guy. Take off with it.
How will I remember Thomas Edward Patrick Brady Jr.?
Yeah.
You might scoff at this. You might even laugh out loud at this. I'll remember his career as underrated because it was always so underhyped because he was always so unsensational in his performances.
Mm-hmm.
He walks away, we think permanently, for good, without one signature throw in one signature game because it wasn't who he was. It wasn't how he did it. The numbers scream sensation.
Oh, yeah.
As you say, it's hard to even begin to argue with any of the numbers. But do you know a walk-off throw that he made? Do you know a play where you say, oh, I remember that one. I do remember he beat Drew Brees up in Foxborough with a walk-off pass at the end of the game, and it's the only one I can vaguely remember. But I'm talking about big games, big stages, AFC championship games, even NFC championship game. Do I remember a throw in a Super Bowl? I don't.
No.
I don't remember one. But I do know he went to 10 Super Bowls and he won 7.
Yeah.
And I do know that the first 6 were won with game-winning drives in the fourth quarter or overtime of all of the first 6.
Yeah.
And I do know that in the first Eli Super Bowl that – even though it was low scoring, he was having a hard time against a really good defensive front.
Mm-hmm.
I do know that he did what he always does. He went 80 yards in 12 plays, and he hit Randy Moss on third and goal from the six-yard line with a six-yard touchdown pass with about just a little over two minutes left that put them ahead 14-10. And Bill Belichick's defense then allowed Eli Manning, of all quarterbacks, to go 75 yards in 13 plays, including the helmet catch, as we know, including one ball that Asante Samuel should have caught that he jumped a little quick on and came down a little too fast before it got to him. But that drive ends with a 13-yard touchdown pass from Eli to Plaxico that won the game 17-14 with 39 seconds left. So I do know that even in that game, he did that. And I do know that even in the Philadelphia loss, what was it, 41-33. I do know that he did score 33 points against a top-five defense, and I do know that in that game he threw for the all-time playoff record, not the Super Bowl, the all-time playoff record, 505 yards in the loss. And if you can explain to me, I'll go to my grave wondering why Malcolm Butler got benched for the totality of that game. I don't get it. Again, you needed him. He played the most snaps on defense for the season, the regular season. So I don't get that. But I also know that, remember, Brady came back on Jacksonville in the AFC Championship game. They're down 20-10 early in the fourth quarter. He's playing with what he said was 12 stitches in the base of his thumb on his throwing hand on some kind of weird cut that he suffered, he said, in practice on Wednesday ahead of the Sunday game.
Okay.
And in the fourth quarter against Saxonville, he throws for 124 and two touchdowns, and they roar back to win the game. And then I'll never forget, maybe my favorite Brady sequence of all time was against young gun Mahomes at his place at Arrowhead.
Right.
In overtime, they did win the toss. I got it. But he faces three straight third and tens. It's impossible. And he goes, Edelman, Gronk, Gronk converts three straight third and tens. As you know, it's the odds against it are just unfathomable.
Right.
And he did that to win, to drive them down in Burkhead. Again, there wasn't like an 80-yard walk-off touchdown. Burkhead ran 2 yards for the touchdown.
Maybe, Skip, you have to look at his career like Kareem.
Yeah.
Because Kareem had the sky hook, and you don't remember a particular shot.
No.
Because all of you, just the sky hook. Because Tom was so great for so long, it's hard to pin. You look at games in which Tom D, like, damn, man, he did this. You remember the game against in the Super Bowl against Carolina? Or you remember the game in the Super Bowl against this team? Or you remember the... Maybe it's not so much a throw, because Jordan got the walk-off. You remember Jordan when he hit the game, Skip, when he hit the against Cleveland in game five.
Elo.
Against Elo.
Yeah.
You remember?
Do I? It's like emblazoned in my psyche.
Magic. The baby sky hook.
Oh, I was there. I was in the front row.
So you...
I do. I remember.
Tiger Woods. You remember that putt on Augusta at 18? Was it 16?
I remember so many Tiger shots. There's signatures everywhere.
Yes.
Everywhere.
Burns, did it have you ever in your life?
In your life. Last roll, and you can see the Nike logo, right?
So.
Okay, I can't make it up. It's fairy tale.
Brady
it's Hollywood.
Maybe doesn't have a moment like that. But Skip, he has so the movie. Man, you remember that scene in this movie? The movie was so great. The whole entire movie. What, did you see that? Did you see this? Did you see that? When you do the totality of his career, it's a 23-year Oscar-worthy performance. Whatever your favorite movie is, the Maltese Falcon, maybe you like, whatever, Ben-Hur, Cleopatra.
Now you're going way back, man.
I'm talking about when they talk about great movies.
Okay.
Whatever, Skip, it's a movie that whomever the greatest screenwriter couldn't have wrote this.
Yeah, The Godfather.
Yeah.
Right? Okay.
One, two, whoever. Yeah. Skip, that's 23 years of basically virtuoso performances. And we're going to talk about this. I think we're going to do this, Skip. You know, where do you rank his career all the time?
Right.
And everybody. That.
Okay, it's hard to argue. You know how much I revere Michael Jeffrey Jordan.
Yes.
I had the honor and privilege of getting a cover and getting to know him in Chicago.
Right.
And I tell you all the time, if I had one moment, one game, one shot for my life, he's taken it.
Yeah.
Michael's taken it.
Okay.
But that's one shot. But one game for my life, it's hard to argue against this guy because he never had a bad one. Like you can't say, oh, he just had an off day that day.
Right.
The second Eli Super Bowl, you can look at the numbers. It wasn't great.
Right.
But that's his average. He played average in that
right.
game, but it wasn't terrible.
Right.
And they did have a chance, and he threw a ball to Wes Welker down the stretch of that game, and it wasn't a great pass, but I think you think that Welker should have hung on to it. Mm-hmm. It wasn't his kind of – it wasn't right. his cup of tea. He doesn't run that route very often.
Right.
But the point is – He never gave you a stinker. We said, well, you got to give him a break. He
right.
just had one bad game. No, mm-hmm. he didn't have any bad games in big games that mattered. So the clutchest overall performer I ever witnessed was Brady. But I don't have a signature. I don't have Michael stealing the ball
right.
from Karl Malone in the corner and dribbling it all the way up the floor and holding the pose in Utah for yeah, the final shot.
And this is the difference between basketball and football, because you say for one shot, you want Mike. You got to do a game. You can't say one throw. One throw, who you want to be your quarterback.
No, no.
You want Brady. You want Mahomes. You want Elway. You want Manning. Hey, you want Rodgers.
That's actually a whole different question.
Exactly.
I mean, for my money, it would be Roger Staubach because I—
One throw.
Yeah, just okay. one throw because he was Captain America, man. And I watched. And Roger, I know a lot of Cowboys. I'm going way back now. But he was my all-time favorite Cowboy quarterback. Heck, all-time favorite Cowboy. And I had the privilege and honor of getting to know him very well.
Well, hell, you damn near watched all of them from Bob Lilly to all of them growing up.
Well, and I'm going back to Eddie LeBaron as the first Cowboy and Don Meredith. But
right.
the point is, Roger could stink for 3 3/4 quarters.
Right.
And at the end of the game, he'd throw it. He invented the Hail Mary. So who do I want throwing it? God seemed to be on Roger's side, right? So
yeah.
I'll take Roger for one throw.
Right.
But for one game, how can you argue against this guy? And how can you now undercut what he did for all those 20 years in New England in spite of Bill Belichick?
Right.
I think Belichick's getting exposed without Tom. I've called Tom the greatest leader in the history of sports just because he had to overcome
right.
The old school Belichick, because the locker room wanted to revolt. It
right.
wanted a mutiny against Belichick, and I think he kept that locker room together.
Yeah, Skip, I think you're kind of winning me over with Brady's impact in New England. The reason I think I gave Coach Belichick so much credit, because he had to put the entire thing together. He was responsible for offense, defense, special teams, getting the coaches in there. But you can have all the great coaches you want. You can have the play. He got the ball. And at some point in time, it's him. All that other stuff you can call the perfect play, and he can make a mistake, and we don't know it's the perfect play because he made the mistake. But you can call a terrible play, and he can make the perfect throw.
Yeah.
And people at home don't realize you called some bull jive, but he bailed you out. And that's what the really good ones can do. The mess that you make, they can clean it up.
Yep.
They're perfume. They're deodorant. Whatever stinking play you call,
they
can make it fresh.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody made it fresher than him.
And I've told you before, I've had the privilege of working with a lot of expatriates.
Yeah.
We've had James Harrison on this show, and he had a cup of coffee at the end of his career.
Mm-hmm.
He had a moment with those Patriots who went on to play Philly in the Super Bowl.
Right.
I'm just telling you the God's truth from my heart. I've never heard a negative word from any Patriot who was inside the locker room about him.
Right.
That he's a phony, or he's two-faced, or behind closed doors, he's something else.
Right.
Even James Harrison, and you want to talk about a BS detector, he's got the highest one.
Yeah.
And he just said, no. I went in with my eyes and ears open.
Right.
And I found him to be exactly who he is on camera, off camera,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yes.
Okay, so you have to give him high marks, but none of these things are sensational. He could never do what Patrick Mahomes does with the football, or Josh Allen does with the football. He didn't have that, but he's the greatest quarterback ever, because under fire, under the greatest pressure your sport has to offer, he just performed at the highest level. Not spectacularly, consistently, supremely.
Yes.
That's what he did. And you can't, that's how I will remember him, but it's a lot of people underrate him because he's not video game worthy.
No.
He's not... highlight show.
He can't run like Michael Vick. He doesn't have an arm like Patrick Mahomes.
Well, he started off running the ugliest 40-yard dash in the history of the combine and taking one of the cringiest pictures without a shirt on in the history of the combine.
He ain't abbed up like Cam.
He's not that.
When you look at him, you're like, If somebody were to, if you don't know the game of football, and you just saw Tom Brady walking down the street, or you saw him with a shirt off, you're like, ain't no way in hell he play he that plays anything.
Correct. That is correct. Yep. Well,
he a soccer dad. He just picking up his kid.
No, that's who he is. He always came off as this lame dad next door, right? Okay.
He got the most out of that.
Yep.
Just goes to show you, you know, looks is not everything.
No. Nope.
Because you look at him.
Never judge a book by
his
cover.
He's an assassin.
I know. Yeah, he's a cold football killer.
Skip, I have to admit, I've been worried about you between the Cowboys and now Tom Brady.
Mm.
Whew. You've had
I got
a lot
him on the
going
road now, Now, who your team? Who you got now?
Worry about me with the Cowboys way more than with Brady. Because I got to live with them. They're not going away. They're not retiring.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, you got to get you a new quarterback. I guess it's Joe Burrow.
That Aaron Rodgers trade is.
Hey, college football fans, Joel Klatt here. And over on my podcast, The Joel Klatt Show, we discuss the best teams, players, and storylines in all of college football. Any questions? Then send them in to the Joel Klatt Show mailbag, and I'll answer them. Tap the banner to follow The Joel Klatt Show on Spotify.